6:04, I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Certification of compliance, Teddy.
The meeting was posted on November 29th and December 4th.
Okay. Youth and governance updates.
I did send to all of you with your the email I sent with our monthly reports, the form that we looked at last month on the computer regarding the timeline for 2013. And thought this way you have your own copy that you could refer to. I want to remind you again, the dates that will be important, and we'll discuss this after the first of the year, are those interview dates in March, so that we will talk about how to divide the committee and set up for interviews. And then John is going to talk about what's going to happen after the first of the year for recruiting our next round of students to participate.
So this is the nomination form for youth and governance. It's fairly straightforward. It's basically the youth's first name, the youth's last name, their address, their city and zip, and what grade they're in. That's all we need, and then we just mail them a packet. So what typically happens is we have a list of about 150 individuals from school districts and other things. We just, you know, as people give us names, we put them on the list and we send these out. That's how we generate the nominations. A couple of things. First of all, we will be sending this out to all youth and governance members, because we sometimes think youth and governance members know youth that would be great to get into the program. But we also send it to all supervisors. So looking for a little guidance on, we historically have sent out a paper copy to the supervisors. You do not want that. We will email it to the supervisors, and then they can print it out themselves if they'd like to.
Even less.
I knew you were going to go there, but I thought I'd ask. So, the other thing is, these are going to go out January 3rd, and they are due February 8th. So just so you know, I will have them distributed as soon as possible. But this is the time of year where, if you know individuals or individuals that work with youth, great time to have those conversations about nominating people as well. And if you have anyone that we should put on the list to get these forms to, let myself or Teddy know and we can put them on the list.
Okay.
Typically we generate about 175 nominations. We send out that many applications. We get typically around 45 applications back. The staff will screen that down to 27 for interviews. And then you all get to take it from 27 down to 14.
Cool.
I was just going to add, Chairman, if once we get it emailed out to the county board, you could just remind them that that
yes.
message is there, and please print it, distribute it widely. Well, however you're going to distribute it to be able to get it completed, it has to be printed somewhere to be sent out. So I just thought that would be good to
okay.
remind them. Thank you. That's it.
Okay. Is that for you? Yes.
Can you give us your insight on that process?
I think it's a good one. I like the fact that I get to nominate, because I directly work with underclassmen under me, because I'm a class advisor on our student government board, so I've already made my list. And I think that sometimes, like, the students can see better than the teachers, like, mm-hmm. how students are, because, let's be honest, kids will put on a fake show around advisors, and so I think that the fact that we get to put our nominees in there, and we can, like, I like that. So I think that process worked.
Did you get enough advance notice? And maybe I was talking to Ashley on my other committee about, you heard about it in advance, right? The nomination and the selection, the whole process and all that? Or did you hear late in the game? Or
I just got my nomination first week. And I remember I never got my letter to get an interview. It got lost in the mail, and we got a phone call. We're like, we didn't hear back from you. Would you like to have an interview? And I was like, of course I want an interview. So I got that process. But other than that, I remember having plenty of time to fill out my application. Okay. It's about a month, I think.
Maybe it was my other committee was on who said that, you know, they really didn't hear anything about the program until real late. And so I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how do we maybe do a better job of, and that's not to say that isn't getting out there, but and I don't remember what school she went to.
Yeah, and that would be my question, too, is the school that she goes to, because there are some schools that do a great job mm-hmm. of getting the program mm-hmm. information out to the youth,
mm-hmm.
and some of them, the counselors know nothing about it.
Now, John, you and I had talked a little bit about Indian Trail, and I know a few people over there, so I don't know what kind of success you've had at Indian Trail.
Not much.
So why don't we maybe talk after this, and then we can...
Be great.
Yeah, or if you're going to email me that, then I can... I'd rather have you come in there to describe the program and all that with counselors. Is it better at the principal level, the vice principal?
It depends on the school. Sometimes the principal's really engaged with the process, and so that really moves everything. If the principal's not engaged, we look for a counselor. Sometimes it's a history teacher. Traditionally a tremper.
That was my government teacher.
Yeah.
Told us about it.
And that's what makes it so difficult.
Okay.
It's like you really almost have to know the terrain of each school. And then some schools like Bradford do almost like a pre-screening. They only send us a very few amount of nominees,
okay.
But those nominees are typically off the charts, like awesome. Where at like Central High School, their entire guidance department gets together and they generate like 70 or 80 names. So, yeah. But Indian Trail is one historically we need to do a better job.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So if you've got contacts, I can even go in and make appointments.
Okay. Yeah, not a problem.
I'll just drop your name and
we'll talk. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Okay.
Okay. Anything
else? I got one question.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. On the, he wasn't here last time for that last monthly meeting for that young man that was on the attendance prop.
Trevor Foster.
Yeah. I really believe we need to look at these people's, these students, or whatever you want to call them, excuses. This guy had excuses above and beyond, and we're still in here ridiculing this guy, taking him to task on missing meetings. And I really think we need to maybe overlook some of them. One of them was Habitat for Humanity. I'm going, holy crap, you said something about that. And then some other thing in Madison that he needed to go to for attorneys. I mean, these are above and beyond and should be excused no matter what. And I understand you got to keep these guys in line, the kids in line, or students in line, but we need to do something.
Well, you set the policy, but just a brief history on that. The people that recommended that policy were not this committee.
Right.
It was the youth themselves that serve in youth and governance, only from this standpoint. The excuse to them really didn't matter. It's that we have 27 kids that sat through an interview, 27 young people that sat through an interview, and we can only give spots to 14. So there are still 13 people. And by the way, the person right after Trevor, number 15, 4.0 student from Central High School, very involved, same thing. So the question wasn't like, do you have good excuses? The question is, you're taking a space away from somebody that could be at those meetings to provide input and help the county along, because that's the other part
of
the process.
Maybe that's one of the questions that should be asked ahead of time, that they have, what was that about? That do you have the time to do this? And I think you mentioned that last time
And Mike, that is something that we stress constantly to these youth. Constantly is, do you have the time to do this? Because he told us at the last meeting that these were already pre-scheduled before he became a youth and governance participant.
Right, so he should have brought those.
So he should have known that, and he should have voluntarily taken himself out of the program, knowing that he was going to miss two of them at least prior to his 50% date.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to add that we've had students who have actually done that.
They've
been accepted and looked at their calendars and said, you know, this is a huge time commitment. And I recognize with my sports schedule and my other commitments, I am not going to be able to fulfill this at the level I can. So I'm going to step down.
Forget
and
what
so
I said.
No. I'm just saying it's important, but I just want you to know that it is emphasized.
Yeah.
Kids have taken themselves out and said, I'm not going to be able to meet the requirements for the attendance. I'm too busy.
Yeah.
But like Mike was saying last time, that do you like asking that question? Do you like the program? And he said, yeah, because he didn't want it. You know, some people get into something, and then they decide, maybe this ain't for me, you know? And that's understandable, too.
I guess I look at it this way, is that I found it was a good exercise, and I agreed his excuse or his rationale or reasons were solid. I wasn't questioning. But it's good for youth to understand that as they get to be adults, you're going to be held accountable mm-hmm. for obligations that you've made. And so I didn't have a problem with them coming in and defending themselves. I think we all agree they were excused. But yeah, you're right. Number 15.
Yeah, now that you know, if you look at it that way, like I said, forget what I said.
Well, and you know, the thing is, I get to meet all the kids, sorry, young people, out in the hallway before the interview. So I'm sitting back going, they're all exceptional. They really are. I mean, and the difference between getting in the program and not getting in the program, and you'll see this, is like sometimes 1 or 2 points. Mm-hmm. 1 or 2 points out of 140 points is the difference between getting in and not getting in. So there's all these other things going on. But at the end of the day, I agree. I think the process worked because we notified him that he didn't make 50%. He's like, can I appeal? Contacted the chair. Can I come express? I thought the process worked beautifully. So
And the peer group around was able to observe it working also. And remember, that will get disseminated now through the rest of the kids that may be applying and stuff that, yeah, you will be held accountable. So that's why I understand it wasn't to put him on display, but it was to hold him accountable for his commitments. That's all.
And the policy doesn't even state anything about excused or unexcused. It's simply an absence. You know, if you aren't there, it's an absence. Whether or not you mm-hmm. called ahead and your mentor knew or the chair knew, it is an absence. So that's how it's been treated.
Right. And going back to the original formation of the program, half of it is what did the youth get out of the program? But the other half is what did the youth contribute to the county by being in the program? What ideas or perspectives can they bring to the table? And we know that those opportunities are sometimes few and far between as there's a huge learning curve. But sometimes there are those opportunities, but you got to be there to contribute. So anyway, we can.
I like the human element, being able to listen to them and us make a decision whether or not we're going to make an exception. And mm-hmm. that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rather than say, well, geez, your father died and you didn't make this meeting, or and then your mother died and you didn't make that meeting. You're out.
50% is 50%.
Yeah. 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 No.
The rules are the rules.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you. All right. Moving on at 6:16, we are at our feature program, Youth Quest Career Education Program. John.
I'm wondering, I'll jump into that and I'll leave some time. Because I always get worried
by
that I
the way, these are the Master Gardener projects. I thought I'd put it up there, and when you get bored with John,
then they're all just boom right there.
No, she's spelt wrong on your second to last.
Is it? Well, oh well.
That rest of it. It was harvest time, and
you
had a lot of
noticed
time.
It. It'll, when I, before I showed it last, earlier in the week.
So I'm gonna jump into this. Sometimes on my monthly report, I report on a program called Youth Quest, and I thought I'd share it with you. And I was talking to Teddy about this, like how should I share it with the committee that you kind of get a flavor of what this program is about. And we both agreed that probably the best thing to do is take you all back to high school or keep you in high school. Because really it's a program that has been refined over the years to focus in on high school students and getting them to think about their future. And that's where it's at. Now, I'll give you a quick background on myself, like why do I do this presentation, where did it come from? Prior to coming here to Extension in 2003, I worked for a small private college in Michigan for 3 years. I was an admissions advisor / career advisor. And my job was to go out to high schools and do this very presentation. And I thought it was great because this private school paid me not to go out and talk about the school, but to talk about and challenge young people to think about their future. And of course, at the end, it's like, hey, by the way, if you're looking at schools, you might want to check out ours. And that helped building relationships, so the school did get something out of it. But I thought, this is really beneficial information. So that's where the program came from. So it's called Youth Quest. I'm passing these out, but I'm going to collect them back.
Okay.
Seems to be a precedent.
Is that only because she wants you to collect them, or you want to collect
them? If you want to keep them,
okay,
you may keep them.
I can do that.
Yes.
But these are brochures that we have in our office, and I'll tell you, I created the brochures for teachers and guidance counselors.
My God.
I took paper last night for the meeting. Didn't I took paper?
And basically, the Youth Quest program asks, it's a presentation, lasts about 45 minutes to an hour, and it asks three basic questions of all young people. So when I come into a classroom, I'm like, I got three questions I want to ask you to have you think about. Number one, should you go on for additional skill education and training after high school? Okay? No. People have been beating that question for years, but we spend a little bit of time on it. And depending on the nature of the classroom and talking with the teacher, if she or he feels that most of the students in that classroom are college-bound, we may spend very, very little time on that question because they've already made up their mind they're going. If they say, you know, a lot of the students in this classroom are maybe shaky on going on after, then we'll spend more time there. So it ebbs and flows based on the needs. So question number one, should you go on for additional skill education and training after high school? Question number two, the one that everybody's been asked since they were about this tall, what do you want to be? Yeah, and it's a deadly time for especially high school seniors because of the holidays. I always love the Thanksgiving to Christmas because you get all the relatives. And of course, they're going to ask you that question. So we spend a little bit of time talking about question two, what do you want to be? And then the third question is by far the most important question. It really is the most important question. And it's the least amount of time is spent here. In fact, I read one study once that said, well, the third question is, where are you going to go? And I read one study once that girls, no offense to the girls, but girls spend more time shopping on average for their prom dress than they will for their college. Mm-hmm. And I'm like thinking about that going, wow, that is kind of crazy statistics. So that's where this presentation comes from. So I'm going to spend a few minutes taking you all back to high school. Okay? We're going to go for it. Okay, so first question, should you go on for additional skill education and training after high school? And all the high school students say?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Why?
Because that's what they've been told.
Employment opportunities.
Been told. Employment opportunities. Okay, go back to high school. Think about it. Why do you go on? You've been told to. Employment opportunities. What does that lead to? Why do you go on? What?
Pay.
Ah, money. So I'm trying to relate to, you know, a 17-year-old, right? So it's like, yeah, I've been told to this, that, the other thing. Why do you go on? Money. How many of you want to make some money? Good. How many of you want to make a lot of money? Yeah, all right. So, did you always need to go on after high school to make a lot of money?
Before?
No.
In fact, I always say this in the classroom. Does anybody in this classroom know of anybody who did not go on for additional skill education and training after high school and is doing pretty well today? And a ton of hands go up, right? Yeah. Right? So what's the difference between them and you? What's the difference between these people who didn't go on for additional skill education and training and they're doing pretty well today, and you?
The competition.
We have to work harder.
The different jobs that are out there now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all that. It's time. So I'll tell you a real quick story about my Uncle Joe. You want to be my Uncle Joe? All right, Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe graduates from high school about 40 years ago, and my Uncle Joe hates high school. Anybody in that same boat? Yeah. All right. So here's my deal. Hates high school. So upon graduation, my Uncle Joe says, forget school. I'm going out and getting a job. And he walked into a factory up in Milwaukee, and here was his basic job interview. You ready, Joe? Okay. Joe, I've read your one-page job application. Everything looks good. I just have a few questions for you. By the way, my name's John. I'm the plant foreman. Number one, are you a good guy?
Yeah.
Excellent. Number two, you going to show up?
Yeah.
Great. Number three, when you show up, you going to work hard?
Yep.
Congratulations, you got the job.
Mm-hmm.
Kid you not? 40 years ago, there were some companies in this area that was your job interview. One page. Couple of questions. Are you a good person? Yup. You gonna show up? Yup. You gonna work hard? Yup. And they gave you a job making a good wage, mm-hmm. benefits, pension, maybe. Does that job exist today?
No.
So it's really important for me because I'll take a break from my presentation here quick. It's really important for me to drive that point home because I don't know where young people are getting their advice from. You know, hopefully they're getting advice like, hey, times have changed. But sometimes I run into students who say, yeah, my dad or mom says, you know, I'm not college material, so I should just go out and start working. And I really want to reach those guys. So we start with Uncle Joe. So times have changed. So let's talk about today's career market. And this is what I love. I get my statistics, and you should always ask your presenters where they get their information from. My information comes right from the U.S. Department of Labor, and so that's where I get my statistics from. So there are thousands of different career titles, thousands of different things you can be. What percent of those things, those career titles, require a four-year bachelor degree or higher? So what percent of the titles require at least a four-year bachelor degree or more to get that job?
I'd say
30%.
I'd say 25.
She said 80, 30, 25.
Higher?
I'd say about 75, 80.
It's about 20%.
Boom.
What?
Yeah. Now remember, I'm not talking about raw numbers. I'm talking about career titles. So what are the jobs that require at least a four-year bachelor degree or higher to have?
Management.
Management? No. Not required.
Oh, required.
What is required, you have to have a bachelor degree or higher to do the job. What are some of those titles? Doctor, yes. It's 4 years. 4 years of undergrad. 4 years of medical school, 3 to 5 years of residency. So if you want to be a doctor, it's 13 years beyond where you're at right now as a high school senior. What else you got? I heard teacher. Teacher used to be 4 years. Now it's 5 years after high school. Yep.
Engineer,
absolutely.
Accountant.
Yeah. Certified public accountant. Now we're talking about additional years, right? So you all kind of have these things where, all right, so those are the jobs that require 4 years or more. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum. What percentage of those career titles are waiting for you with a high school diploma? You got your high school diploma, what do you got? What percentage is the career market?
Well, if 20 was one way, 80 is the other.
You've got the two-year.
It's about 10%.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. It's about 10%. So now you've got to look at, and remember, I'm not talking raw job numbers. I'm talking about titles. Right, so there could be 50 people with this job, but it's still one title.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking about job titles. So that about 10%. And what are those jobs that require a high school? What kind of jobs are we talking?
Fast food.
Yeah, sometimes unfortunately they're called McJobs. A lot of people call them McJobs. Right. Right. Part time, seasonal, those types of things. Low wage sometimes, low benefits, those types of things. Hard to do some of the things you want to do as far as buy a car or do those things with those types of jobs. So what does that leave? We got 10, we got 20, that leaves
70%.
So this is where I love to spend a lot of time. 70% of the great careers you can get into is something beyond high school, but not necessarily a four-year degree. And especially to those students that hate school, this is where we focus in. So we focus in on the 70 and say, okay, so of those 70% of those great jobs, where would you look? Where are those fields?
Skilled trades.
Skilled trades, absolutely, for sure, especially in technology now, right? Mm-hmm. Technology is a big field. Business is a huge field. Business is still one of those areas where you can get into it with some additional skill and training, but not necessarily a bachelor degree. And then the third one, healthcare. And I always tell students, don't take my word for it. Open up the Kenosha News. Look in the want ads and see where the big jobs are. These big titles are right there. In fact, I printed off the statistics tonight. I'll pass this stuff around. Only one copy.
Number one field in Kenosha County is in healthcare for employment.
Pardon?
Number one field is healthcare for employment in Kenosha County.
Absolutely. And in fact, that matches. I have two things that I'll just pass around for your information. The number one is most new jobs. This is raw numbers. Most new jobs projected over the next 10 years. You know what the number one occupation is? Okay. Most new jobs.
Nursing.
You got it. Registered nurse. Yep. So I'm going to pass this around. Most new jobs. This one, a little different because you all said you wanted to make a ton of money. This one are the highest paying occupations. So if you're interested in making a lot of money, you can also check out this one. By the way, a lot of the jobs that are on that one, most jobs, are not necessarily on this one, highest paying jobs. So you can take a look at that too. Real quick, should you go on for additional skill education and training, I always have to end with this story. It's about my good friend, Corey. Corey is a high school buddy of mine. True story, by the way. Corey is a good friend of mine, still is. Went to high school together. Our sophomore year in high school, we both decided we were going to go on to college, and we needed two things to go. Number one?
High school diploma.
You got it. Number two?
Money.
Done. So we worked hard. We also got a job working at the corner gas station, pumping gas, changing oil, changing tires. We started saving money. Worked all the way through our junior year, worked all the way through our senior year. At the end of our senior year, Corey had saved up a little more than $2,000 for college. And I always love that number because to current high school students, they're like, $2,000? What are you going to do with $2,000?
I can't even go shopping.
Right. Back in the day, though, $2,000 was a good chunk of change. So, two things happened to my good friend Corey between the end of high school and the beginning of college. Number one,
spent all of his money.
He realized.
Yep, but he two things. Number one, he bought a car. Number two, he got a girlfriend.
Girlfriend, I knew that. I could have told him to stay out of that.
He went from $2,000 at the beginning of summer
to zero
to $200 at the end of summer.
Boy, was she happy.
Actually, he spent more on the car than he did on the girl, but that's a side point. But I remember it plain as day. We're in the corner booth at McDonald's. It's about a week before we're supposed to leave for school, and you know everybody's getting their stuff ready, their books or whatever, and Corey's not doing anything. And so I looked at Corey, and I said, are you going? And he looked at his checkbook, looked at me, and said, I can't afford to go, but I got this great plan. I'm going to take 1 year off. I'm going to save up my money, and I'll see you at school next year. And me being his really, really great friend, said what?
I'll take the year.
What do you say to the great friend?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
man,
great plan.
I'm looking forward to you.
Great,
because you had all that wisdom.
Well, right at 18, I'm super smart. I'm like, sounds like a great plan. 1 year turned into two turned into four turned into eight turned into
16.
You got it. Go back to my hometown today. Pull up to the full service. Bell goes off. Ding, 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 ding. Guy comes out to pump your gas. It's Corey.
Gray hair.
He's still there, pumping gas, changing oil, changing tires. Yeah. Now here's my thing. People are like, oh, that's sad. I'm like, what's sad is not that Corey.
Pardon? Does he own it?
No, he does not own it.
That'd be a happy ending.
And what's sad here is not that Corey works at the gas station. I want to make this point clear. What's sad is Corey is stuck working at the gas station. He doesn't have an option. And I learned this from a very wise 5-year-old, Peter Talon. Peter Talon's driving to Chicago with his dad. Obviously, Peter's not driving because Peter's 5. So Peter's driving with his dad, Tim, and they're driving to Chicago, and they happen to get on the road. Here it's called the freeway, but as soon as you go over the border, it's called a what?
Tollway.
Tollway. So here's Peter. He's in first time in a tollway, and they stop at the first toll booth, and his dad whips out a couple of dollars and hands it to the toll booth worker. And Peter is fascinated. Absolutely. And he looks at his dad and says, Dad, when I grow up, I want to be a toll booth worker. I'm like, what? And then you got to think, right? Like, to a 5-year-old, where's all that money going?
In his pocket.
In his pocket. $2. Thank you. $2. Thank you. And Peter figured it out. He's like, going to be rich. He's just going to work in this toll booth. So his dad, Tim, looks at him and says, Peter, if you want to work in the toll booth, that's fine with me.
Government job.
But you will. Government job. But you will go to school. Because if someday you want to wake up, you wake up and you don't want to be in the toll booth anymore, you'll have the option to get out.
That's what Coach McCarthy did, toll booth.
Toll booth, right, yay. And look, he's doing all right. So my thing with young people is you don't go on for fame or fortune, you go on so you have more options. Cool? Question one, should you go on? We all agree. Question number two, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
You know what you want to be? Engineer. So here's my deal with what do you want to be when you grow up. I always tell students, high school students, that it's not that important.
No.
And you know what? They're freaking out. Because they're like, well, come on. My guidance counselor's asking me. Teachers are asking me. Parents are asking me. Grandparents are asking me. Aunts and uncles. And here's the bald guy that comes in and says it's not that important. And I'm like, it's not. Because the typical college freshman will change their major 4 times before they graduate.
Mm-hmm. You're bald.
And get
semi-bald?
Semi-bald. Okay. Semi-bald guy.
Come on, I have a question.
Yeah.
You're in high school. You're in the Nancy school.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Such a respectful class. Wow.
Are the high schools gearing their attitude toward that 70% that don't go? Because when I went to high school and graduated in 1995, it was four-year. They never talked about technical school or getting a technical certificate or an associate's degree. Well, when 70% of the workforce doesn't need a bachelor's degree, and I learned that from my own experience. I went to college for one semester at Parkside, didn't like it, went to Gateway, graduated, had a job in my field, got to be an art director, and people were coming out of school 2 years later, went to four-year college, were in debt up the wazoo, and I was 2 years ahead of them and hiring them. I was their boss.
Yes. So I would say, no, I don't think they're doing a great job, but I will also say I don't think it's their fault.
No, I...
Well, and here's why I say that. When it's funny, when I used to do career advising, I'd always sit down with these students in Michigan, and they're always like, what do you want to be? I want to be a teacher. Okay, which school do you want to go to? I want to go to Michigan State. It's the best school for education. And I'm like, well, how do you know Michigan State's the best school for education? Well, my counselor told me. Where did your counselor go? Michigan State. So I'm like, okay. So in schools, because remember, to be a teacher, typically, you have to have a four-year bachelor degree. So you are naturally inclined, if you got a bachelor degree and you were successful, and somebody asks you, what should I get? You would naturally give them that advice. And that's why it's almost like our teachers and our career advisors need to go back and look at all the options. And they're getting better at it. But you're right. It's still way skewed. I don't know if that's your experience. Probably way skewed to the four-year degree.
And I think that's because as you're coming out of the, you know, 40s, 50s, those manufacturing jobs were widely available. Mm-hmm. And those parents then grew up in those jobs and said, I'm not going to have my kid do it. So the whole mindset of you're going to go to college set in through the 70s and 80s, and it's still there. The problem is the cost has exploded.
Oh, huge.
You don't even get it. It's a poor investment these days. But online, I think, is becoming...
And it's going to burst soon.
It will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're not getting the cost under control.
Absolutely.
You can't come up with a... You know, as an example, an engineering degree... be $75,000, $80,000, $100,000 in debt, never could pay that off because you're not going to be paid enough.
Right, right.
And there's no job.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some fields are more than others, but yeah.
Which leads, that's a great point, which leads into this question. Should you, or what do you want to be?
Yeah.
And I always give this three things of advice. I don't care what you pick, but think about these three things. Number one, pick something you love. Notice I didn't say like, I said love. Because, and I always like to put it in these terms. Let's say you get a job when you're 22 or whatever, 25. You're working 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year. That's 2,000 hours a year doing something, and most of us are going to work 40 years before we can retire. So you're talking about 80,000 hours doing something. And even if you change jobs, you typically don't change fields. You're still kind of in that same field. So you're 80,000 hours, and most students are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You could say 2 bazillion hours, and I still don't know. So I always put it in their terms. From the time you're in kindergarten to the time you graduate your senior year, you'll have only been in school for about 13,000 hours. So your career will last 4 to 5 times longer than your entire educational process thus far. So picture the most boring class you've ever had. And the students always get it in their mind. I'm like, picture being in that class for 80,000 hours. And they're all like, oh, I'd kill myself or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, pick something you love. Number two, please pick something you're good at. And we've had enough interns come through our office in graphic design and things where I'm like going, you're not good at it. Honestly, I wish.
That's funny because I'm a graphic designer.
I know, it's just an easy one to, you know, point out, because in graphics you have to have the technical expertise plus the design side. And if you can't put those two things together, nobody's going to pay you to do it. So number two, you know, pick something you're good at. And number three, please pick something that can pay the bills. If you're good at it and you love doing it, but it can't pay the bills, guess what that is? That's a hobby. And I mean, that word, I try to bring that word back into our culture because you don't hear that word a lot. But I'm like, look, you play the guitar? Great.
go out and do your nighttime gigs, but that's not an employment pattern here. Look in the Jawan ads. So I'm like, do it, get good at it, and someday if you end up making a ton of money, great, but at least have a fallback plan. So that's how we spend a little bit of time talking about question number two, what do you want to be? I'm really not going to stress too much about it. I don't want them to stress about it, but you're right, you got to do your research because we've had students who interned with us one of them, four-year bachelor degree over here at Carthage, which is a great school. But she got a degree in the classics, Greek mythology. You spend $80,000 getting a degree in Greek mythology. What are you going to do?
The question is, why is there a degree in Greek mythology?
Well, because that's humanities.
The humanities, yeah. And people, you know, I think it takes a while for institutions to catch up.
Your dad owns the company.
Well, there you go.
She'll still end up okay. Right?
Well, and you're right. I mean, 20, 30 years ago, a bachelor degree in anything
was huge.
You could get a management job. They didn't care. You got a bachelor degree, boom, you're done. Those days are long gone. Yeah. So some of these degrees haven't left.
Yeah.
They're still there. So that's question number two. Question number three, where do you want to go? And we spend a lot of time, especially in a lot of the schools around here, talking about this question. Because I'm always like, and I know you guys are awesome, how many schools have you visited? And I'm always saying, you got to visit at least four. And by visit, I don't mean going to a football game on the weekend. I mean actually going in and sitting down and asking good questions. And when we used to do this as a full-time program, we developed this with some students over at Lakeview. Because what we said is, the students don't know what to ask when they visit. So we have created the college questionnaire. Which I'll click back because...
Does it work?
Actually, John, real quick, I can tell you that this college questionnaire, I sent it to some friends down in Illinois.
Yeah.
They took it with them to every college that they went with for their son. They used all these questions on here, and he is going to Point now.
Awesome.
Oh,
I know.
Really?
So,
the border. Stevens Point?
Yeah.
So one of the things that we noticed when... And remember, I've worked at I worked at UWM, UW-Milwaukee. I worked at Winona State University in Minnesota, and I worked at Baker College. And admissions people do the same thing at every school. They sell you on their features. At UWM, I got more kids to sign up to go to school there because I took them up to the 23rd floor of the dorms, and I showed them the view of the lake. And I'm like, and you too could have this dorm room, and you know, everybody's filling out the paperwork. In all my years there and at Winona State, no one ever asked me about careers. No one. Parents, students. So one of the things we drilled in is on page 2 of this questionnaire, we put a whole series of questions in here about careers. And this is really important because a lot of times you get so overwhelmed with them dazzling you with the new rec center and look at all the great food we have in our food court, and you never really feel like you get the chance to ask the question. So I was really proud of some students. We took them to Madison, UW-Madison, and a student gave them the tour. And when it got to the career questions, like, what do you know about your career placement rate for your grads? That student didn't have any idea. I don't know, but let me take you over to the gym.
Okay.
When we got to MSOE, Milwaukee School of Engineering, we asked that question right away because the students are like, now I'm going to waste my time. What's your career placement rate for your grads? And the professional career advisor there said, we have a 97% career placement rate with our grads, and we get them placed within 6 months of graduation, and their average starting salary is $48,000 a year.
Wow.
So when you're looking at where do you make the investment, if you're going to spend it on tuition, a school like that is a school that you might want to take a serious look at. Because, hey, they've got the connections with employers to get you paid. So we spend a lot of time talking about that. We also spend a lot of time talking about those questions that aren't that important. Girl-to-guy ratio. Maybe not that important. You know? What does the dorm room look like? Maybe not that important.
They all look the same.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, you can, you know, some are made out of brick, some are made out of like nice whatever, some have a TV and the, you know, but honestly, if that's why you're picking your college, we need to spend more time there. And of course, cost is a big factor too. And I always say, look at all your options. There's a lot of great private schools that have great scholarships. So if all you do is look at the tuition cost without looking at all the other packages, including scholarships and things, you might be missing out. So I'm never afraid of having students go and visit. Go out, visit, check out your options, and move on from there. So like I said, this presentation, we usually spend about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on the needs of the class, how many questions they have. And then I usually just leave it up at the end for them to ask questions of me, things I've seen, and we go from there. So it's a real fun thing. You probably tell I'm a little passionate about it because I've seen too many students waste a lot of time and a lot of money, a lot of their parents' money, going and getting classes or going to a school not being happy. And it's like, gosh, if we just spend a little bit more time on the front end, really doing good research, we can make better choices. And that's that. So that's Youth Quest. Questions?
Excellent job.
Good.
Where do you give this presentation?
Well, it's interesting because we've made the pitch to all the guidance counselors and Unified. And I've also sent materials out to the county schools as well. It's really interesting. My impression, the guidance counselors say, we've got this covered, John.
They're not very good at it.
No, they're terrible at it.
They were terrible at it when I was in high school.
I've seen mine once, and I'm a senior.
You don't want someone to come in and tell them what
to do. I think I saw mine twice.
So the ratio between guidance counselors and students is 1 to 565. That's a nationwide average. But so when I come in and say, hey, I've got this great career program, and they're like, hey, we've got that covered, I'm kind of locked out. So now what I've done is I've found teachers that like it. So I usually do a few presentations at Bradford every year. I've done presentations at Tremper and Reuther, but those have been the three schools that I've been able to get into. But I'm more than willing to go anywhere and talk to anyone about this because it's that important. So if you know anybody or you think it would be a good thing, you know, teachers or counselors or principals, I'd love to get in and talk.
Did they ever allow you to go,
go ahead.
Into the auditorium center, where you can, and the reason I'm saying it is because you can do a class here, a class there, it's kind of limited, but and that may be the auditorium, but at least would stimulate some thought.
Yeah. The closest I've got...
question what they're doing and how they're approaching things.
The closest I got to that was seminar. Last year in Unified, they did these seminar classes, basically an extended study hall, right? And people sleep. And so they bring me in, and you know, I'm trying to do my best, but quite honestly, if you're a freshman or a sophomore, talking about where you're going to college for them is like talking about, like, you might be talking about 100 years down the road. So what I really like to do is focus in on juniors. Because almost by seniors, by this time in the game, it's almost too late. But juniors, you still got time to get out there and do your thing. But yeah, any help you guys, or if you want to get my name out there, brochures out there, or just give my name, I'll contact them. I'd love to go out.
We can use these?
Please. And we've got more. And
I was just going to comment, John, this is on the website. So you can download this as a PDF. So share it with your family members, your constituents, because what we have found is parents tell us, this gives us a chance to compare apples to apples. Because just as John said, we get all this promotional material, we get wowed by what we've seen, we really don't know what we ended up with. If I start asking the questions when I get home, I can actually see, oh, this is their admissions, this is their career, this, and you start to compare apples to apples. But it does require a little work, and you were saying your friends ended up using it. It can be an incredibly useful tool. It's on the website. We encourage people to download it, print it, use it.
Yeah, so it's on our website, on the homepage, it's under Youth Development, and then it's Youth Quest. A quick thing on the domain. We used to have a domain called youthquestwisconsin.org. Unfortunately, we missed the expiration on that page by a day, and it became a gambling site. I'm like, wow! I mean, it's that fast. So if you ever get a domain name, make sure that you get your payment fee in on that day, because if you miss it and it gets a lot of traffic, somebody will buy it for like a penny. And then they'll put like a gambling site on it. So, but we still have it linked through our homepage. And if you just want the PDF, so you can just email that, Teddy can get that out to you for sure. Yeah.
My niece's husband is a high school principal in Las Vegas. I'm going to send that to him.
Oh, awesome. Great. Wonderful. Do they want to pay our way to come out and do a presentation?
Yeah.
Hey! Now we're talking!
Now you know where they're gambling.
Yeah!
You think that some of the guidance counselors, because their job is in theory, okay, guidance counseling, resist you coming in maybe presenting this?
It's hard to say.
Or they're just a little bit too clandestine about it.
Well, I'm sure the topics, that they are covered.
But it's the way the information is presented.
Yeah.
It is different. And that's where it probably falls more to me to do a better sales job. And I go in and I tell them, but maybe the other thing is to just say, give me a classroom. Give me a classroom once, sit in, see what it is, and then go from there. Mm-hmm. I've had a really great experience over at Bradford with their career tech people. Okay. Because they get that whole thing focused in. So
the counselors do not focus on technical schools at all, like 0%. And if you have people, generally young men, who are not college material, the counselors are not helpful to them of where to go. They have to hopefully find it on their own.
Right.
Because they are of the mindset of four-year college, and they don't see, hey, this guy doesn't really thrive in school, he is not a four-year college guy. But they don't see that a technical school or a certificate or associate's degree might help them, or a career in welding, things like that.
Huge.
And they're not they are not helpful in that.
Or there's
lost.
Right, or there's a stereotype that somehow that's not as good. And,
right.
And like, my brother-in-law, my mother-in-law is an associate dean, or was an associate dean at a college. And for years, she kept on telling them, four-year degree. And he kept on going, no success. I sat down with him one day, and I'm like, EMT paramedic, buddy. You're good with people. You love serving. You love hands-on. You got a super memory. Boom, went to Gateway, got through it. Boom, 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 and now he's a paramedic. So, once again, I think you're right. Oh, he loves his job. It's just, once again, he loves waking up and doing that. But it's right, being unbiased and doing those types of things. But
you ever thought of any success going to school board or through that administration?
We've learned from like youth and governance and other things that typically going to the school board with the principal doesn't get it done. Like, you may get it disseminated, but it doesn't necessarily get you in, and sometimes it actually work against you. So I think it's just continually building relationships with teachers and doing a good job for them. Class time is valuable, so when I get in there, I'm really cognizant of thanking them for that hour and making sure that we get good information out.
Do you think the counselors have been programmed to four-year degree, and maybe even the colleges are telling them, hey, you got to push this stuff so we can...
Well, it's what they know.
Like I said,
to be a high school counselor, you've got to do a four-year bachelor degree plus a master's degree, so it's what you know. And quite honestly, if you said, what are the careers that are going to make me the most money? I'd say you'd have to go on for that bachelor degree, because look at those jobs. But once again, I'd say before you pick the money, pick what you're going to love to do and you're going to be successful at. So. Anyway, I tend to ramble. I left my colleagues like no time, so sorry.
They're used to it.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
That's why I did this. I'm done.
I don't have that much, so I'm good too. I planned on being short. So I just want to give you guys an update. We had the 4-H year concluded in September, and so the clubs have been turning in October, November, their end of the year reports and getting their pins and stuff of gold, silver, and bronze. So I just want to let you guys know how that came out with our new reward system. We had 115 bronze awards go out to our kids, 80 silver and 42 gold out of 600. So we had almost half the kids apply, plus their stars and bars that some kids are still on. That's for the older kids. So quite a few have gotten awards this year, so that's awesome. So we're excited.
So just to summarize that, so we switched recognition programs in the 4-H program to make it simpler on new families. And so we've seen like a 20% increase in the first 2 years of switching over. So much more accessible for new families. It's funny, the families have been in for a long time don't necessarily like the new system. They think it's too easy. So we still negotiate through all that. Yeah.
It used to be really hard.
Yeah.
So now we made it
really hard.
It's right now it's 4 pages, front and back. So it's 4 pages. So 2 pages stapled together, and that's it. That's
and
all they fill out.
When you say, do they have various questions they have to answer?
Yes.
Or examples?
So there's
they give
a
or...
club section. So it's what you did in your club, and then you turn it over. There's a project section. So what you did in your projects, and then there's a state, and then a national. So if you did anything outside national.
And a county. Yeah.
And a county section. too. So pilot journey.
So you get points for service projects and
community service.
If you're an officer.
And then you guys then kind of evaluate, or the
no, the general leaders actually evaluate it, and then they just give me the kids' names with what type of awards, bronze, silver, gold, and I just get the pins ready, and we disperse the pins out. And then the clubs usually have a end of the year banquet, things like that. So they'll announce the kids' names and have them come up and get their pins and things like that.
Not to drag it out, give an example, if you know one, of like a bronze, a silver, or a gold that just stuck with your mind, what they would have to do?
A bronze is, the lowest is 25 points, which is a cover bud, so they would have to attend, most clubs have about 10 club meetings, so they get about 8 max points for club meetings. There is 4 countywide clover bud meetings that clover buds can go to, so they would get 2 points apiece for that, right, John?
Yeah, so it varies, but basically a bronze would show, you go to some of your project meetings, you go to some of your club meetings, and then you would show some things at the fair. So bronze is pretty basic.
Some of you actually
basic.
Do sometimes just go to meetings.
No,
yeah,
right.
Wait, yeah.
Silver and gold? Actually, what we should do sometimes is bring in some gold examples.
Yeah, that's
all
just
the things
yeah.
that...
Did you have to raise a whole...
Gold is a pretty high level.
Gold is pretty high. You pretty much have to be very active in the county level, trying to get things done, and also the club level, chairing committees and things like that.
All right, we have 1 minute.
Okay, and then also you might have gotten in the mail or email to you is the home link. Normally we don't mail this out, it's always emailed out, but because it's the first one that all the new families get and it pretty much kicks off for 2013 year, it is very full, and in the back is the calendar that lists everything that is going on as much as I possibly know from January 1st to December 31st of 2013. So all the project meetings and stuff in there. That's why it's so thick, and that's why it gets mailed out, because I want everybody to have it. They can rip it off and put it on their calendars.
I'm pretty sure mine came on email.
Okay. Someone emailed, someone mailed out.
When did that go out?
Last week.
I just got it a couple days ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe
yeah.
I get it because I'm in the...
I think you'll all get a hard copy, too. We
I
obviously will do both.
Sure I didn't, like the stacks of all these stuff. You kind of sift through it and realize I had it.
Okay. You're right, though.
Sorry.
I do have a couple of, obviously you got to see it, a couple of things is we're also ending up the Master Gardener volunteer year, and you may or may not have caught it, that first of all, we had 32 new Master Gardeners finish their minimum of 24 hours of volunteer time in order to become a certified Master Gardener and join the program. Then for Kenosha and Racine, because it's a joint program, we had 191 Master Gardener volunteers that did their minimum volunteer time, 24 hours, and also get 10 hours of continuing education. Their volunteer work added up to almost $12,000. The worth to the two counties is $260,000, and that's based on $21.79, which is from the private sector, and that's what the value of a volunteer is. Master Gardeners are actually worth more than that because they're an educated, highly skilled volunteer. So that's at the low end of what the value is to the counties. You got an idea of some of the projects. Projects are decided once a year, and it's based on, are they educational to the public? Is there a Master Gardener interested in, has to be a nonprofit? So that just you get an overall idea of it with the Master Garden program. So great, continually expanding program.
Thank you. Any questions? No. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, we will go ahead and adjourn over to.
I have one update from the director's report, just real quickly. The Community Natural Resources and Economic Development position, Annie's former position, mm-hmm. will be posted on Friday. Okay. It will close on January 22nd. Okay, so I will send you the email link, and if you have any acquaintances, friends, neighbors who might be qualified for the position, I appreciate all the help and recruitment that we can get. So just get that word out there.
Okay, great.
It's going up when?
Friday. We posted Friday.
What's the title?
Well, I know it's such a long title. We affectionately call it the CRD position, the Community Resource Development Educator, but its appropriate title is Community, Natural Resources, and Economic Development Educator. CNRED. Yeah, it's a very...
Does that require a four-year degree?
It does require one. It actually requires a master's degree.
I've got a niece that's got an eight-year degree looking for work.
It requires a master's degree, actually.
She's got a master's degree.
Yep, there we go. See, I know. This is the 6 degrees here I've got. You all may have the very perfect candidate for us. That would be awesome.
Erin?
Next meeting, we're not having a meeting after, correct?
That is correct. The next one in January, it is just this meeting. So if you want to have this one go longer.
I was going to say, can we discuss the youth and governance rules and changes we might want to make to that, like the attendance rules and things like that, to the policies?
John?
Absolutely. What's on tap for next month is our Youth as Resources group is actually going to come in and show you how they run this grant giving program, but that will only take a certain amount of time, and then we'd be free to talk about those things for sure.
Yeah. And we invite other youth that are...
Yeah, and open it up to any youth that want to attend that night to have their input on it.
One of those gold recipients, you know, that raised that steer, bring the steer in.
No, we're talking
about the government. Yeah, I know, but I'm pretty sure.
Actually, we could do that. We could send a special invitation to all youth and governance members to let them know that it will be discussed and that we value their input and it might be a chance for them to come.
Yeah. And you can tell all of them. You need to be here. You need to be here.
I'll drag them with me.
Great suggestion.
That is a great suggestion. That's a very good suggestion.
Move to adjourn.
All right. I don't want to be
a adjourn.
Yeah,
you move to move, right?
I keep wanting to move.
I know everybody. I want to take a